The baseball game is over. It's time for the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show with Tim Allen on The Fan.
It is a final from Minnesota, and the results are not good. I need a hug after this one. Tim Allen, ready to go here, Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, and I don't even know what to say after this one. This, a wild one from Target, as the Brewers fall 4-3 the final in 12 innings, and their three-game winning streak is snapped, and this one took a lot out of this baseball team. It took a lot out of the fans. Sam Schmitz is here as well. This took a lot out of me, guys. It did. A disheartening loss. You thought it was going to be a no-hitter against, and then they come back and they get it tied, and they have chances in the 11th inning. First and third, nobody out, and I'm going to point right there to the turning point. Great Lakes Dragway, turning point with the legendary Great Lakes Dragway. Event and track rental information at greatlakesdragway.com because Manny Pena with runners at the corners, first pitch, pops it up. I didn't like that. It was a wild pitcher out there. You didn't get a look. That's the part of this game I did not like. That part of it is not sitting well with me at all. You emptied out your bullpen guns in this one. You went for the win. Council did. And I applaud Council for that. That game shifted so quick in the ninth inning that he went to his guys and said, you know what? I got a chance. We got a chance to grab this one. Let's grab this one. Hold them right there. Offense has got to muster up a run, and a great defensive play, I mean, by Kepler out there in that same 11th inning. I mean, that certainly didn't help. But, man, this took a lot out of this baseball team, and you may have, unless, you know, the offense breaks out tomorrow, you may have lost a couple of games with this loss tonight because, obviously, Williams, Phelps, and Hader are not available tomorrow. That leaves you with the likes of Corey Knable, Drew Rasmussen, maybe a little Alex Claudio. Now, I guess maybe Suter could go in a pinch, but you might be in trouble with the pitching tomorrow. Want to get your reaction on this one. This is the most disheartening loss this year. Just because of all the way it shook out all the way around. I mean, you were getting no hit through 8 innings of work. So I did the homework, and we're all setting up for a no-hitter show, and we look back at Steve Busby's no-hitter, Royals against the Brewers back in 74. And then 20 years later, you get no-hit by Scott Erickson. And then in 2007, Justin Verlander did it to you. And Kenta Maeda tonight almost did it to you. 8 innings of no-hit baseball and about 2.8 trillion strikeouts in this one on his way. And in fact, at one stretch, 8 consecutive strikeouts. I mean, is Maeda that good? He's having a good year, yeah. But I think it's a lot of discredit to the Brewers' offense, too, at the same time. Credit Maeda, but you also have to take a look at a floundering Brewers' offense in this game, at least. But they did get it together in the ninth inning. This was kind of cool. We'll start out with some of this happy stuff here. This right here off the bat of Eric Sogard said no to the no-no.
And there is a soft liner and a base hit over Polanco into center field.
Yeah, enough of that. That way, and Sogard able to go down and get a change up. Didn't look like he hit it all that well.
That reminds me a little bit of Lucroy's hit that broke it up 4 years ago against right. The Marlins.
Yeah, nobody wants to ever get no hit. Now let's see if they can't figure out a way to win the game. That'll be it for Maeda. You figured that was going to happen.
But Deli was going to say, you go for it, son. You can't get it. I'm going to come get you. Boy, what a night, though. All you can do is...
Yeah, I just cannot begin to tell you how disappointed I am in this game. I'm still stunned by this game. The Brewers, after that base hit, they break up the no-hitter, obviously right there with Eric Sogard, followed by a double by Avisail Garcia, second, third, nobody out, and the Brewers in business at this point. Hey, you broke the no-hitter. You might as well go after a few runs, make this thing interesting. You've got the tying run to the plate at a 3-0 deficit in that ninth inning in the form of Christian Yelich. And Yelly works a walk. Bases juiced. Nobody out for Keston Hira.
He's gone deep five times this year. And there's a liner softly hit center field. That's down, a base hit. Sogard is in. Station to station ball. They remain loaded. Brewers on the board. Still nobody out.
And another breaking ball. Keston didn't hit it hard, but he got enough of it. Yeah, so now the tying run at second base with nobody out.
Yeah, now you just need a little base hit. But, well, you didn't get the base hit, but you got a little help off the bat of Jed Jerko.
Here comes the 0-2 pitch. And that is hit on the ground. They'll get the play in second. And the turn gets away from Gonzalez. Here comes Yelich. And this game is tied.
Oh, man. Wow. How about that? It's going to be a throwing error. It'll be an RBI for Jerko. He put the ball in play. It's a force out at second. And the Brewers tie it up. How about that? So Kenta Maeda, as good as he was, is going to get a no decision. And the Brewers tie it up.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about this is you get it back to even, and you want to take that next step, and you want to maybe tack on and get this thing in regulation. Get this thing in nine innings. Smoke then gets a ground ball. I should say Jerko gets that ground ball, and they throw it away. So it's tied at that point. Braun and Pena then strike out, and it's 3-3, and we head into extras for the third time this year. Here's where Craig Counsell goes to his pen, and he's thinking, you know, I'm gonna start going to my guys here. One frame at a time. I'm going to go to my guys, Devin Williams being the first up. Williams strikes out the side around a walk into extras, and that's the third time this year that the Brewers have done that. Pena, the automatic runner in the 10th, the Brewers go in order right there. Josh Hader coming on in the bottom half of the 10th inning. Hader strikes out a pair to get it to the 11th, tied at threes. Yelich works a walk in the 11th inning. The crew cannot score. Phelps in for the bottom after falling behind with a 2-1 count. I'm going to go ahead, Sam, if you could rack that up. I'm going to go ahead and play this. He falls behind. And now, keep in mind, the automatic runner at second base with nobody out. He falls behind the hitter 2-1 on the count. And within the span of two pitches, David Phelps gets it to the 12th.
The 7th of August, there's a bouncy ball. Jerko, the throw to third. Holt is there. Wow. The tag applied.
What a play,
wow,
by Holt. Wow. That could have been a game ender right there. Not a very good throw. Jerko's throw kind of short hopped Holt. Actually, an in-between hop. Boy, that is a big league play right there by Brock Holt.
Here's Buxton. Ground ball over to Holt. There's Hira for one, and the turn, a double play. How about that?
Yeah, how about that? And that got it to the 12th. I may have said 11th inning. It's Manny Pena in the 12th inning. That's the Great Lakes Dragway turning point. They had the table set, guys. I knew, you knew the game was lost at that point. First and third, nobody out, and you can't play to run. I still wonder why more teams are not bunting a guy over. I am still wondering why they're not doing that. You don't have to do it every time. But once in a while, can you bunt a runner over? There he is at third base with just one out. You want to get the lead. Again, you want a crooked number there. Because, again, the other team could do the same thing. I mean, balls hit to the right side. A bunt to the right side, a drag bunt to the right side. I mean, I am so disappointed with this loss. After thinking it was going to be a loss, after thinking it probably was going to be a no-hitter, but how disappointing is this loss? Man, it sucks. 414-799-1250. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell coming up. Our buddy listening on the radio.com app, Vincent in Anaheim. Dude, were you following this game?
Yes, I was, man. I was following it, you know, just getting the updates. And I was just so happy Eric Sogard got that hit, man. You don't ever want to get no hit, man. You got to have some pride. And I was just happy for that. And when it came back, 3-3, I was like, I knew it. I had a feeling. once Eric Soder got that hit, I was like, I haven't gotten no notification saying the game's over. What's going on in my head? Because sometimes I don't like jinxing things, so sometimes I kind of don't check in until later. And I was like, come on, man. And then when they lost, I was like, that's kind of disappointing. But I'm just glad we didn't get no hit. And 10 and 11 now. We
got 10 and 11, yep.
I know the punk Cardinals, they're on top of us in the standings, but they haven't even played all their games yet. And, of course, they lose against the Cubs, not even helping us out. You know what I mean? But you got to keep our heads up because this showed some fight in us. We could have just laid down, let us get no hit. They would have celebrated. You would have heard it all over the news, all over the newspapers and all that. You know, a little bit, especially over there now.
You're right.
You know, so I like the fight. Never give up. And it's just disappointing, though, when you look at it, man. Oh, we lost, man. Especially for y'all. Y'all staying up late for this one.
Oh, I don't care. I do this show at 3 in the morning. It doesn't matter to me. Vincent, always a pleasure, dude. You know, keep smiling. You know, he's a little bit happier than I am. I'll say that. They should have won this game. All told, once you got into extras, hold on. Where are my notes? Here's how you lose these games. Here's how you're losing these games. Again, beating the proverbial dead horse. Where's my notes here? Okay, here we go. Let me just throw these numbers out at you. At one point in this game, I was so upset that I started, compiling a little list here. This is how you lose these games. Keston Hira, 221. Now, these numbers aren't exactly on right now because there was a couple of ABs after these. But Keston Hira, 221. Garcia, 234. 194 for Christian Yelich. Smoke, 206. Omar Narvaez, 140. Sogard, 196. 207 for Ryan Braun. Ben Gamel, 151. Jed Jerko, 240. Brock Holt, 125. I'm going to run those by you again. These are batting averages. I'm no mathematician here, but I know you need hits to have a better average. Get some hits. 221, 234, 194, 206, 140, 196, 207, 151, 240, 125. These are regular players. These are almost every day in the lineup players. That's how you lose these games. But I will say this. Braun made mention of it within the past few days. Craig Counsell has made mention of it within the past few days. The battle back is in this team. That's going to bode well for the future. It will. The battle back portion of this is good. That prognosis is good. But wow. You got these guys batting a buck and a half to 200, most of them. No one's really above. I mean, you've got Manny Pena, Orlando Arcia, Luis Urias. Those are your three best hitters on this baseball team through 21 games now. All right, we'll get a break in here. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell coming up, a couple of the players as well. A very disheartening 12-inning 4-3 loss in extras. While getting no hit through eight, they tie it, have every opportunity to win it, and it comes up short. Man, this is a tough one. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show here on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time for the Gene Wagner Plumbing Are You Kidding Me? Moment of the Game on The Fan. Gene Wagner Plumbing, celebrating over 50 years in business. For any residential, commercial, or industrial plumbing needs, go to GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
4-3 final. The Brewers fall in 12 innings. Easily the most disheartening loss of the season. Even though you sort of chalked it up into the loss column prior to the ninth inning, didn't you? And possibly the no-hitter column. You guys on hold. I'll get right to you. But the "Are you kidding me?" moment with Gene Wagner Plumbing. 221, 234, 194, 206, 140. These are batting averages. 196, 207, 151, 240, 125. Are you kidding me? That's how you lose these games. I don't understand. Again, baseball hasn't changed that much. You saw a squeeze play by the Minnesota Twins in this game today. Where's that been? Not only in Milwaukee, but where's that been around the league? Well, you see it with Minnesota. I would have considered a squeeze in two different spots in this game. But yeah, disheartening. 10 and 11. I do like the comeback attack, if you will, in that ninth inning. 7-9-9, 12-50. Easily the most disheartening loss of the year, man. Need a pick-me-up. Hey, Chris, what's on your mind? You're on the Bayview Shade and Blind post-game show.
Hey, buddy. I'm in Illinois. Don't hold it against me.
No, that's all right.
We are Brewer fans down here. Grew up in Burlington, Tony Roma land, but we live down here. My question is, we got Josh Hader in the bullpen. Extra innings. Why not bunt the man over to third? Play for the one run. That's my biggest problem. Much like you, it's like this was a game we could have won. And we were right there. But, like, why not play for it? Instead, we have our Orlando Arcia swinging through holes in his bat. For what, a home run? No, just bunt the guy over, get the one run, and win the game and bring in Josh Hader. That's my problem. That's the only thing I have to
say. All right, Chris. No, I'm with you. There are certain times, and I'm not sure there's enough data out there that tells you in extras really that there is a book on it. So, I mean, I know baseball is baseball and it's built on the numbers. And it might pertain to all the numbers across the board, second inning or 11th inning. It doesn't matter. But when you're looking, that's a good point you bring up. Get the lead and slam the door with your shutdown guy. Now, there's no guarantee, number one, that the bunt's going to get down, because this is what these managers will tell you. There's no guarantee that, first, the bunt's going to be successful, and second, that someone's going to get it in play, either sack fly or ground ball to the right side. So there's no assurances of that. But, man, I like a runner at third with less than two out. I really do, because I know that 7 out of 10 times you ain't getting a hit. That much I do know. That data's out there. 7 of 10, you ain't getting a hit. But you don't need a hit at that point. And honestly, with a runner at second base, you still don't need a hit with either a deep fly ball or a ground ball to the right side twice. You don't even need a hit for two straight batters. I mean, the Manny Pena one, that's just not sitting well with me in the 12th inning. That's that part of it. Where are we going to go here, Sam? I'm sorry. 799-1250 to Neil. Neil, you're next on the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show.
Hey, Tim. I moved to Detroit about 4 years ago, and whenever there's an exhilarating win or a really frustrating loss, I always go on radio.com and listen to your show. I love your postgame show. I always did when I lived in Wisconsin. I'm a high school baseball coach, and the play that you mentioned, you mentioned Manny Pena, go back to the 11th inning, because as a high school baseball coach, when you have a fly ball or a base hit, I'm talking about where Gurko was on third base.
Yep. Yep.
You do not go halfway. They showed the replay. I watched the games on MLB TV online.
Where was he going?
He was in no man's land. As a coach, the first thing I tell anyone who's there is, I'm like, if the ball is hit to the outfield, go back to the base, because if it falls, you're going to score easily. If he catches it, you obviously have to tag up. What Gurko was doing, and I realized that was a great catch, but you go in, where was Ed Cedar telling him to get on the base, because even with that diving catch, if he's on the base, he was off of his feet. There's no curl hop. He's not making a throw. He scores. I was yelling at the TV. Everybody else in my family is asleep. But I'm yelling at the TV when they showed the replay. He's dancing in between. That was horrendous, horrendous base
running.
And that, I mean, great play, good. Manny Pena's that bad. And while I was waiting, you talked about the batting averages of people in the scoring position. And I get that. But they should have been up by one. And
Those are their batting averages. Those are their batting averages for the year.
Oh.
I mean, that's just not runners in scoring position. That's the back of their baseball cards at this moment. I hear what you're saying. The last time, Neil, that I was this incensed by a couple of things. And number one, we haven't even gotten to until you brought it up, the Jericho base running, was when Gene Segura was in. And you talk about high school fundamentals. You talk about baseball fundamentals. When you're at first base and there's a sacrifice bunt, it's easy if you're the runner at first. If the ball is down, you run. If it's up, you go back to first. There's only two choices here. Jericho, same thing. The outfielder, if he makes a spectacular catch, he's rolling around the carpet. You can easily tag at that point and choose to go. Or if he drops it, he's still rolling around on the carpet. He's not throwing you out.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I saw. And I was thinking back to all my teams and just saying, that's the first thing, third base with less than two outs. And in that situation, I don't remember who was pitching anymore because Phelps, that one inning was terrific. But if that was Hayden, I think that was Phelps' first inning. He closes the door. We win in 11, and it's done. It was frustrating, and it's early for where I'm at to be that frustrated. But I'll tell you what, the comeback was terrific. That made it worth it. But it leaves a bitter taste for sure.
Neil, it's even more disheartening for me because they emptied out the Williams Phelps Hader deal, and that kind of shoves all your chips in for tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah.
All of them unavailable. Neil, thanks for the kind words. Thanks for checking in, man.
Hey, you bet, man. Thanks.
All right. He's listening on the radio.com app, obviously, in Michigan now. But wow. Yeah, the Jericho thing. Sam, you watched that play. Where do you think he was going?
No, I'm with Neil because I was telling you, I was like, why is he, you know, halfway between the baselines when the ball's coming off the bat? I mean, even for a guy who is slow and all that, just hug the base until you know what's happening so you can at least tag up. I don't know,
man. They get too jumpy. They get too excited. And it's a game of thought. It is. And they know that. And mistakes are going to happen, and I understand that too. We've seen it time and time again, though. I don't think it's a huge bad habit for this team. I'm going to chalk it up to a one and done in that regard. But I see it more on guys at second base that will go like three quarters of the way to third on a deep fly ball, thinking it's in the gap and they're never going to get to it. What are you doing? I mean, if it's in the gap and it's that deep, you're going to score if it gets down. And if it's caught, well, then you're easily going to tag and move to third. That one I see more often than what we saw tonight. I think Jericho just got too excited. Kepler made a great play, too. I mean, let's not discount that either, but that I don't know if that's a valid excuse. 799-1250 as the Brewers fall 4-3 in 12 innings. They run their mark now to 10-11. And with two games remaining in that infamous, I'm making it infamous, 10-game run between the Twins, Cubs, and Twins series, two games to play in that 10-game, and they're now 4-4. So still holding their own with some really stiff competition, but tomorrow it looks like they're going to have to either have an offensive runaway or someone's going to have to pitch a beauty, or two people. Namely, Brett Anderson and Freddie Peralta. I think it's a piggyback situation for tomorrow. You want to jump in here, 414-799-1250. Going to hear from Eric Sogard on the way. We'll hear from Corbin Burns. Hey, Corbin pitched nice tonight. That's another positive out of this thing. And we'll also hear from Craig Council. All coming up, Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Tim Allen, very disappointed tonight in a 4-3, 12-inning loss. We'll be back on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time to dive into the box score for today's game on The Fan. Brought to you by the Laborers International Union Local 113. Feel the power. On the web at liuna113.org.
Yeah, wow, trying to heal up after this one, Brewers fans, that's for sure. A 4-3 loss in 12 innings, a game in which you thought you were going to get no hit. Three outs, that's eight no-hit innings from Kenta Maeda. And it didn't look good. A lot of strikeouts, there's nothing really going through eight innings. A couple of walks earned by Yelich and Narvaez, but really didn't put any pressure on the dude, and he has eight no-hit innings into the ninth, and then you come back, you tie it in the ninth inning. I will say this, maybe another bonus is getting at Taylor Rogers again, but you know, this is an AL team. You got a couple of more games against the Minnesota Twins, then would not face them again, potentially until the World Series. Yes, I said that. Let's check out the numbers going inside the box here. I'm going to add in the current batting averages on all these players, so buckle in for that. Avisail Garcia, 1-for-5 with a run scored, hitting .232. Christian Yelich, 0-for-2, a run scored, 3 walks, .189. Keston Hira, 1-for-5, 1 RBI, .224. Justin Smoke, 0-for-3. .197. Jed Jerko, 0-for-2 with an RBI, .222. Ryan Braun, 1-for-5 with 3 strikeouts, .206. Omar Narvaez, 0-for-2 with a walk, and he's hitting .133. Manny Pena, 0-for-2. Wow, he's hitting .310. That's good. Ben Gamel, 0-for-3, .143. Orlando Arcia, 0-for-2. .292. We'll take that, Lando. Luis Urias, 0-for-5. .375. Small sample size, so that can move big time on the batting average. Eric Sogard, 1-for-4 with a run scored, hitting a robust .200. Brock Holt, 0-for-0, hitting a nice .125. I mean, guys, really? Again, baseball hasn't changed that much where you still don't look at a .243 hitter and say, man, you kind of suck. These guys would be begging right now to hit .243. Most all of them. There's .125 here. There's a .125 here. Wow. It's crazy when you collectively put that all together. Now, they did have a nice series against the Chicago Cubs, scoring 18 runs in the four games, including 6 each in the last 2 of those games. So, I mean, it is starting to turn the corner a little bit, but my goodness. I mean, we'll check out the pitching lines, then I'll get to the line score here, which is telling as well. Pitching lines tonight, Corbin Burnes, not bad, 5 flat. Gives up a couple of hits, just 1 run given up, 3 walks and 5 strikeouts. Alex Claudio, 1 inning clean. Eric Yardley, 1/3 of an inning, 1 hit, 1 run. It was earned with a walk. Brent Suter, 2/3 of an inning, 1 hit clean. Angel Perdomo, that was a mess. 1 inning, 1 run. It was earned, a hit, 2 walks, 1 strikeout. Devin Williams, 1 inning, no runs, no hits, a walk, and 3 strikeouts. Josh Hader, 1 inning pitch, no runs, no hits, no walks, and a couple of Ks as well. David Phelps, 1 1/3, 1 hit, 1 unearned run, because they all go unearned in extras these days. Twins get 4 runs on 6 hits with 1 error. The Brewers, 3 runs on just 4 hits in this baseball game. No errors. The win goes to Alcola, and Phelps gets saddled with that loss. The Brewers now 10-11 through the first 21 games here of the 2020 championship season. Just a little disheartening. You had a shot at this thing. A couple of mistakes, and that's the hair-splitting kind of deal with baseball. I mean, you never know what mistake, if you make it, is going to cost you big time, and a couple of them did in this ball game. A base running issue, Craig Counsell did not want to go to his guys late in the ball game when you're trailing. And in a way, especially this year, I understand it, because there's three of them out there that are pretty trustworthy in Phelps, Hader, and Williams. But outside of that, I mean, you got to save those guys for a tie ball game or in the lead. And now more than ever, I believe in that. But once you did get it tied, you see how quickly Craig Counsell went to it. He had this thing in the loss column too, by virtue of Angel Perdomo out there. You didn't know what you were going to get out of him. But once they did rack up three runs in the ninth inning, hey, now it was game on for Craig Counsell. Hey, muster up a run. Grab a run. The whole, and then maybe we'll get into this on some other shows, but that phrase, manufacturing runs, guys, I think that's starting to go away in all of baseball. I think it is. It's starting to hit me a little bit. I don't know when it started. I don't necessarily agree with it. But the manufacturing of runs, the giving up. Sogard, the other night, I made mention of it on the air the other day, Saturday or Sunday. Sogard has no business swinging at a pitch outside when he needs to get one to the right side. You're looking middle in, and you're looking to get it over to get the runner over. There was a runner at second base. That manufacturing-type baseball I really miss, I got to say. But, hey, new times. It's new times. Long ball, strikeout, walk. That's what you get these days in baseball. Well, the Brewers, they muster up the three runs in that ninth inning. Come close, near miss, near no-hitter, and a near win for the crew. We'll come back here from Craig Counsell. Cannot wait for this. So, Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Tim Allen, 12 innings it took, and the Brewers fall 4-3. We'll be back on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shaden Blind postgame show. Let's get the scoop from the skipper on today's game on The Fan.
All right, this should be good, Craig Counsell. Yeah, he should be pleased with a couple of aspects of this baseball game. And I guess, you know, now that the dust is settling a little bit, you know, the battle back mode, I love that. And that is going to prove helpful down the line here. Brewers with the loss go to 10-11. So that you got to like. Also, Corbin Burnes, make no mistake, this twin lineup, very similar to the Chicago Cubs in that it's tough up and down that lineup. So these pitchers, yeah, it may not pay off right now, but they're certainly getting an education right now. And Corbin Burnes, one of the highlights there, that, you know, he did a nice job. When you look at it, also outside of Perdomo making his debut, the pitching staff as a whole did well again. That bullpen, I mean, they can't be flawless every night out. They're going to give up a run, certainly in extra innings. I really enjoy the extra inning thing, and I'm not going to go as far as to say that we should have that for the regular 162 years. But maybe I'm sort of liking it. Sam, do you like this?
Yeah, I heard Bart say it too. Like, hey, I might not like it at first, but if I see it in action, it might sway my opinion. I'm not going to lie, man. Even watching away games, like it's very entertaining, and just seeing how other teams, if they want to do bunt that runner over or not, how they, you know, how their strategy is going to work out.
I don't believe playing for the big inning. Now, again, I'm still trying to figure out the strategy on this stuff. So I may ebb and flow on this too. But it seems to me now that through three of these games, I want the lead. I don't necessarily need a crooked number right now. I need the lead. Because now it affects, the longer this extends, you guys know that. You go into extras, the longer it extends, the more it impacts the next day. I need the lead now. I need it in the 10th. I'm moving a runner. And I may switch on that. I may change on that because the other guys, you know, the other team gets the automatic runner at second base, nobody out as well. They turn around and match you. But it starts with the lead. You know, I would go from there so far. But it is exciting. It's nerve-wracking is what it is. It really is. It's starting to grow on me for sure. All right, let's hear from Craig Counsell as team falls in 12-4-3.
Hey, Craig, there's obviously no moral victories, but just to force that game as long as it went after the way the first eight innings did go, do you think there are some things your guys to take away? The way Eric said it was, he's sort of going out with his head held high.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought it was a great baseball game. With everything that happened in it, and I thought, we battled hard and they did too. They got an unbelievable pitching performance from their starter. Corbin battled and got through that fifth in a big way. And we had a nice ninth inning with some good at bats. And in the end, we weren't able to score in the extra frames. That was the story. It wasn't how they scored. It was just that we weren't able to score.
Craig, on that, is there anything Jed can do? Like, if you go back to that play where he's at third base, is that a play he should tag on?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, he can, if he catches that ball on his feet, if he catches that ball in one hop and goes back to tag, he's out at the plate. It was a well hit ball that was the wrong, a guy charging in on it. He had to do that. Absolutely. He fields that on one hop and he's not close to score. He probably has to stay at third.
We asked Eric about the play that Jed and Brock Holt made. From your vantage point, how difficult was that play, especially the pick that Holt made?
Yeah, Brock made a fabulous play. My view of it was not an easy short hop. It was a fabulous play. And, it was a huge play. It controlled that inning, and that inning kind of went away. And Phelps, he ended up throwing five pitches because he got a double play on the next pitch. So gave us another shot, and that's what you're looking for at that point.
You know you're going to get a lot of off-speed stuff from Maeda in a given night. Was his off-speed stuff tonight just kind of next level?
Yeah, I mean, I would say just the lack of, lack of mistakes. He just didn't make any mistakes. It was just down, strike the ball, down in the zone, get ahead. There was never, I don't remember 3-1 counts or good counts that we were in ever. He pounded the strike zone, and he threw a lot of strike to ball breaking stuff, which is tough to lay off.
Craig, on Perdomo, was it not coming set? You think things were just, was it moving fast? Like what happened?
Yeah, it was his big league debut. Yeah, I think it was moving a little fast for him. Yeah. But I mean, he got it together. And recovered and, only limited the damage, only gave up a run. But I'm sure it was moving a little fast for him. Yeah. Anybody else?
A game like this, just how does it reflect just the importance in that extra inning of having speed at second base to start the inning? It seemed like Buxton, you got what you wanted, and just Buxton scored anyway just because of his speed.
Yeah, I mean, it's luck of the draw who gets on, who starts there. So it's not like, speed works in the game. Speed on the bases is valuable. I mean, in this format, you make outs, but you randomly get to start. We kept Buxton off the bases. We turned two double plays on the guy today, but it's just the way it's the rule works. You put a really fast guy on, and I still think on a regular ground ball, we got a chance to throw him out. They hit RCA made an unbelievable play, where really it was an unbelievable play. and it's just, you know, that's an elite runner. So, I mean, speed on the bases helps, and in a scenario where you get to go on base for free and you're fast, that's even better.
Craig, it's so long ago that he pitched, but for Burns, was this another sort of big step forward, especially limiting things the way he did in that fifth inning?
Yeah, I thought the fifth inning was a huge inning for him. I was really proud of how he handled the fifth inning. He was tired. He was going through the teeth of their lineup, with Cruz up there, a really good hitter with Cruz up there. And, that was his last hitter, and he made some great pitches to a really hot, dangerous hitter. So I was very happy with that inning. I thought he sucked it up and did exactly what he had to do.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time for the current electric spark of the game during today's game on The Fan. Go to callcurrent.com for your superhero electricians.
You're not sure I agree with Craig Counsell on that Jed Jerko running play, but I understand he's got to back his guy. Although in years past, he has said base running mistakes. I mean, he's admitted it, but not sure I agree right there. Spark of the game with Current Electric. I would say, I know it sounds funny, but the Brewers' bullpen, again, I think stepped up. Angel Perdomo, discounting the debut, and you heard Craig Counsell say that things got a little fast on him. It was a little messy, and he should be a little bit better prepared, but who knows how. The nerves get going, and, there's a balk in there. There's a couple of walks in there, and he does end up, minimizing some damage. It could have been worse. But spark the game, again, is that bullpen. It's pretty impressive, guys, it is. If they continue to pitch like this, they're going to win their fair share of games if the offense can just do something once in a while. And lately, the at-bats have been better. Sam pointed out during the break that, Garcia's average, the 234 or whatever it is, in the last week or so, 10 games or so, his outs have been better. ABs, so that's a good sign, and again, there's some other signs that some of these guys are going to break out of it. But the spark of the game in this one, 4-3 loss in 12, is the Brewers bullpen. Also, does it surprise you that it was basically an infield single that won this baseball game? Never seen anything like it, guys. In 15 years of doing this show, I've never seen so many infield singles hit against this Milwaukee Brewers baseball club ever in one season. It seems like you get 162 games worth of infield singles in the 20 games played or 21 games played right now. All right, let's hear from Eric Sogard. You heard our insider, Adam McAlvey. After the break, we'll hear from Sogi. But Adam McAlvey made mention that Sogard says he's going to walk out of this game with his head held high. I don't know. I don't handle losses as well as they do. But we'll hear from Sogard coming up. If you want to jump in here, I'll make room for you. 414-799-1250. Tough, tough, disappointing loss tonight. Game one of this three-game set. It goes to the Minnesota Twins. The Brewers try to bounce back with a victory tomorrow to even up the series and then have really a winning road trip or a winning run on the line in their last 10 games. We'll be back. Bayview Shade and Blind post game show here on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind post game show. It's time to go inside the clubhouse to hear what the players are saying after today's game on The Fan. It's brought to you by Windows Select. Right now, buy one and get one free, plus no payments until 2021. Call Windows Select today at 262-703-3500.
Just kind of wondering where it went when 221 was really kind of laughed at in the big leagues as a batting average. So just wondering where that went. But now it's just like, you're hitting 224. It's all right. Well, it says, it's not even 100 ABs. So, it's okay, 220. I mean, you used to be laughed at for that. I mean, a guy like Eric Sogard is hitting 200. Nobody's concerned about this? let alone the other guys, the Narvaez and Ben Gamel down below 150. I don't know if I like that part of baseball, is that part. So maybe you can call it old school if you want. All day long, call it old school. All I know is you have to have hits to have a decent batting average. Hits are good in this game. Last check. I don't think they made hits as a bad thing once we changed to this highly metric sort of game. Well, I digress, though. 4-3, Brewers fall in 12. Hey, Mike, I'll get you in before Eric Sogard, real quick.
Okay, I'll make it quick. I was looking forward to calling in and talking about how the Brewers are starting to turn it around. When they made that, I forget what inning, was it the 11th? When they threw the guy out at third and then came up with a double play, and I thought, man, the Brewers are back. And it kicked me in the guts that they lost. I didn't even catch y'all. I was going to get my brother-in-law some pizza to eat while we watched the game. And I missed that play with what's his name when he didn't tag up.
Jed Jericho. Mike, I was with you in the bottom of that 11th inning with a matter of two pitches. Mike, take it easy. Don't do anything dumb, okay? It was a 2-1 count, so he pitches the fourth pitch. This is Phelps in the bottom of the 11th. Gets the out at third. At the very next pitch, then gets a double play to just get out of everything and just end the inning. I was almost convinced the Brewers would win the game once that 12th inning started with a base hit to put runners at the corners, nobody out. So you had all the momentum right there. Yeah, that's a tough part. All right, let's get to the Brewers infielder Eric Sogard after this one.
Hey, Eric, just what's the vibe after a loss like that? It's obviously a tough way to go down on two grounders in the last inning, but I don't know. Is there something uplifting about just fighting into extra innings the way the first eight innings went?
100%. Our heads are now low. You know, obviously, first eight innings did not go the way that we wanted. And, you know, we fight. We continue to fight. And we were able to get that hit, get things rolling a little bit, get the extra innings. And, you know, we made some fantastic defensive plays and extras. But unfortunately, you know, it wasn't enough. I think, even though, you know, we lost, you know, we battled and, you know, our heads are high tonight.
Just heading into that ninth inning, what was being said? I mean, obviously, y'all didn't have any hits, but you just think if you can get into their bullpen, get a hit, or just what was kind of the attitude like heading into that rally?
Yeah, we knew we were still in the game. We needed base runners, and, you know, he was throwing the ball great, obviously. So we had to continue to, you know, work, continue to do our best, and, you know, we were able to get a little rally going and, you know, tie the ball game there. So that was huge. And, you know, once that happened, once the game was tied, you know, gave us extra life, a little extra energy going into extra innings. And unfortunately, we weren't able to get the job done there.
Eric, what does that say about just the quality of the pitching that you got from Corbin and then the rest of the bullpen, the fact that you're going into the ninth, no hit, and you still have a chance to win the game?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, the pitcher's picking us up and keeping us in the ballgame there. Obviously, as hitters, getting no hit into the ninth inning is not where we want to be. So, you know, pitchers did a great job picking us up, keeping us in the game, and, you know, allowing us that opportunity to make the comeback and tie it up in the ninth.
Eric, as an infielder, how tough of a play was that one that Brock Holt made there to grab that short hop from Jed?
Incredible play. You know, just the whole situation around, it's a big play with Jed, you know, stepping up, making that throw. And, you know, it was probably one of the toughest picks in the book to have to come up a complete do or die for the game right there. And you know, he did it and he put the tag on him. So it was absolutely enormous play.
How about the final play, Eric? Do you think that anyone besides Buxton is a tougher out at home?
I mean, anyone but Buxton, I think we might still be playing. Arcia, that was, you know, absolutely incredible play to even, you know, get that throw off. Barehand, I mean, the ball was still hit pretty decently hard for him to barehand it and get rid of it so quickly and put it on the plate with Manny. So, you know, anyone other than Buxton, I think we're still playing this game.
Eric, you got a changeup from Maeda. That was such a critical pitch for him tonight. Was it like the best you've seen from him? Like, just can you describe what it's like, that pitch, when it's going as well as it was tonight?
Yeah, I mean, that was his go-to pitch. And, you know, as hitters, it's a difficult pitch to pick up a lot of the times. I think he throws his fastball off of it just enough to kind of, you know, keep us off of it. But I think at that point in the game, it's where we almost have to, you know, sit on it, you know, 100% and stay on it. And, you know, I was able to get just enough of it and kind of get it on the outfield.
All right, there he is, Eric Sogard, and the team at least is holding their heads high. I'm still bummed. I can tell you that. A 4-3, 12 inning, just a heartbreaker at the end there. You go from losing and getting no hit to, hey, maybe there's a chance here to back to even, to getting yourself the table set, first and third, nobody out to take the lead. At that point, then you're thinking a crooked number, let alone just get the lead, and it comes up zero, and then you fall in the bottom of the 12th inning on, a great play by Lando. Infield hit, I believe it goes down as, but they fall. End game is they fall 4-3. Their record now 10-11. We'll check the rest of the National League Central scoreboard. Also, another game postponed. We'll have the details, Sam Schmitz, on that. Up next here, Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, and it's time to check the Major League scoreboard on The Fan.
Yeah, we bring in Sam Schmitz on this, checking the scoreboard around the league as the Brewers fall in this one, 4-3, the final in 12 innings. And there was another postponement, but I guess the tomorrow looks good, but the Reds were postponed again, Sam?
Yeah, unfortunately, the Reds and Royals tonight postponed a couple hours before the game, actually. Just pretty much cautionary from COVID-19 and all that. Just want to play it safe, so they'll play a doubleheader tomorrow. Elsewhere in the NL Central tonight, the Pittsburgh Pirates lose game one of their three-game series to the Cleveland Indians tonight in extras. Final score of this one, 6-3 Cleveland. Carlos Santana came up clutch with a three-run home run in the 10th inning. Santana drove in five of Cleveland's six runs tonight. Framil Reyes is the only other batter to drive in a run for them. Pirates now move to 4-15 this season. Elsewhere in Chicago, the Cubs beat the Cardinals 6-3 tonight. Yu Darvish gets the win after six innings pitched of one earned run ball.
Yeah, he's pitching well this year,
racking up seven strikeouts on eight hits, but Darvish is now 4-1 in the season. Kyle Schwarber and Ian Happ stay hot for the Cubs, both of a home run tonight. For the Cardinals, Daniel Ponce de Leon gets charged with the loss. He's now 0-2, and the Cubs' Rowan Wick gets his fourth save of the season. A side note for the Cubs, according to reports, Chris Bryant has a wrist injury that is expected to keep him out of the lineup until at least Friday. Cubs are now 15-7 this season. St. Louis is 5-6. They will have a doubleheader that wraps up their series tomorrow.
Yeah, and tomorrow, speaking of which, we'll have the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on deck show getting you ready for game two of this three-game set. That'll be on at 6. The Milwaukee Basketball Hour on at 7 tomorrow as well. Bill Michaels, Steve Novak, talking some Bucks hoops. So not a good day in the world of Milwaukee sports, Sam. This was a tough one. I mean, you had the Bucks and the Brewers both falling. Shockingly, what did you make of that Milwaukee Bucks game today?
It was weird, man, because I told Evan and Dan that I don't care how many games the series took. I just wanted them to get right and get their minds ready for the second round. And they laughed at me when I said that I don't care how many games, because they're like, oh, it's going to be a sweep and all that. But hey, you know, they're just not looking good on defense. They got to clean everything up.
Yeah, and I think they will. I still say they're as close to a shoe-in to win this series as you can. But as you can be. But hey, there's another set of professional athletes on the other side of that court, and so we'll see. After the last pitch tomorrow, make the switch. This show right here, Baby Shade and Blind postgame show, going to be interesting. See how long Brett Anderson can go for the Crew. Rich Hill is starting for the Minnesota Twins, and you may recall Rich Hill pitching against the Brewers in a Dodgers uniform, just waterfall curveballing. I think he's cleared up his arrest. I think that's what I was reading. Him and his wife were arrested at a football game a couple of years ago. I'm going to say a year and a half or so ago. I never did get to that on News and Notes on one of the shows. So I had to get that in there. All right, that's going to do it for us, Sam. Good job tonight. We appreciate you guys staying up late with us. Once again, the final tonight, 12 innings. Brewers fall 4-3, 10-11 now. But again, the 10-game run that they're on right now, 3 against the Twins, 4 against the Cubs, 3 against the Twins again. They sit at 4-4 with 2 to play in that 10-game run, and that's tough. That's a tough run. You just heard Sam mention about the Pittsburgh Pirates not having a good record. Well, that's where the Brewers go starting on Friday. So that might be a respite for some winning, a recipe for some winning. All right, you guys have a great night. And despite the outcome, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.